after Kristallnacht, my parents felt that as a family, we should get out of Germany. My mother, she had a second or third cousin living in Havel, Massachusetts. How she found him, I have no idea. But he gave us an affidavit, and because the U.S. government said, you cannot enter the United States until you have somebody who is responsible for you financially and otherwise. This person had to pay my education, feed us, our rental, my doctor bills, and so on. Whatever money we needed, he was obligated, because there were no social services permitted to German refugees. And so we had this affidavit, and we went to the American consulate to get on a waiting list to get a visa. And the first thing is we had to pass a physical exam. And my father, he had high blood pressure that automatically disqualified us to get on the visa list. And then my mother and father said, listen, we can't get out as a family. What do we do? And there were countries like Holland, Belgium, France, England, and Denmark that took in children under the age of 14. And I left there on July 4th, 1939, and the war started on September 1. I said to myself, how come I'm still here alive today?
So your parents saw that you were put on a Kinder transport to France. Can you explain to us where you went and where you were housed?
We were just north of Paris, and we went straight to this home. But the ownership of the castle is a French count and the niece of the House of Romanov. And the Romanov family came from Russia, and Stalin pretty much eliminated all of them after World War I. So she survived, she had some money, and they bought this castle, and we lived there and went to a public school locally until the following May, when the Germans had invaded France.
And what happened at that point?
Well, we first tried to escape from the Germans, and we walked through the River Seine, and this is an inland water transport ship. It could not go on ocean waters. And the red things on top are separate compartments. And they then, the captain walked us along the side of the ship, and he looked at every compartment to see if there's room to put in 40 kids. Well, he found one spot, and he said, sit down there and wait what will happen. And it turned out to be, it was filled with coal. So we sat on coal all night long, and the following morning we could hear the German soldiers with their boots with nails underneath walking on top of the metal bar. And they opened up each cover to see what is being transported. And they saw us sitting on a pile of coal. And we could hear them in German saying they all looked like a bunch of Jews. And down came the covers. And we did a little bit of praying that they wouldn't start shooting at us. But we didn't get anywhere. So we disembarked. And the next 3 or 4 days, which will be of interest, is that I knew we got off the boat. We had an old wagon that they put a horse in front of it, and we carried our luggage and pulled a wagon. And we came back to the chateau that we lived in. But I don't remember a thing about those 4 days. And I didn't until just about maybe 2 years ago, and a diary was found, a handwritten diary on plain paper of one of the boys who kept almost a minute-by-minute activities of what happened in those 4 days. We were first involved with the French army, which was escaping from the Germans. Then we got caught with the Germans who were chasing the French army. And then also, then we were involved with the British Air Force who were bombing the Germans coming in. So we were all involved in that, with policemen pushing us into barns to cover us and all that. But it's a total blank in my mind. So, but we came back to the castle, and it was occupied by the German army. A couple of the older boys approached the German. We are 40 Jewish kids from Berlin, and this is our home. Well, the German officer in charge, he could have called for a freight car and ship us to a concentration camp or labor camp, or he offered us a deal to sleep in the basement and do chores for them, and they would feed us. And we took that deal. So, and in fact, some of the soldiers that were living there were not really Nazis. And the reason I'm saying is because when they went on furlough back to Berlin, they asked us, not on my case, but they asked some kids for the address of their parents. And while they were on furlough, they would visit those addresses and see if the parents are still living there and tell them they're in good shape, you know, you don't have to worry about it, because there was no communication between Germany and France during the war. After about 6 months, one night we were woken up and to move again, and it turned out that the American Quakers came in, I think, 3 truckloads, and took us over a period of a few days, and keeping some of the kids separate depending on the living quarters they had for overnight stays. And they took us to the border of occupied and unoccupied France. And then we walked across the border, and then we were taken by other transportation. I don't know who sponsored it, but they took us to the location in Chaban, which is not about 50 miles from the city of Limoges. And that's where all of us were housed. Some kids went to public school. The public school was expanded by using space in Chaban and in a local town, because there were 200 kids which entered the school system. I was not permitted to go to school because I was 15 years old and too old to be educated. I learned a trade, though, so in case I come to the United States and I can't get a job. So I had a job after 3 days at a leather factory, because I was trained for that purpose.